standing. So as we are in this series here, Advent of Joy, it's necessary that as we think about Advent and we think about celebrating the birth of Jesus, that we also take time to prepare for the year to come in 2025, as we come to the end of 24 into 25. And at the beginning of 2025, as we have done over the last several years, we will be joining with our larger Alliance family in 40 days of prayer. And in that 40 days of prayer, we have used that time in past years to have sermon focuses on those 40 days and encouraging our church family to pray along as we've gone through those 40 days. We're not going to do that as far as Sunday morning sermons, but Derek will be leading for us a Sunday school class beginning the first Sunday in January that will focus each week on the theme that will be coming that week for 40 days of prayer. So it'll be an opportunity to explore the theme, to talk about it, and then to spend some time in prayer over it, launching into that time. And so as Sunday school would begin in 2025, it'd be at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings. And so I'd really encourage you to take part in that as a learning and discipleship opportunity, but also as a time to kick off the year together in prayer. And so we look forward to that time. Today, as we continue in this series, Joy in our Advent of Joy, we look today at Joy in Partnership. Joy in Partnership. There are sermon notes in your bulletin. We've used those to be able to have fill-ins, and there'll be more notes on the screen. But today we talk about joy in partnership, as we've talked about joy in God's presence. Last week, joy in God's character. Today, joy in partnership. Partnership can be illustrated, I think, very well through two guys, Ben and Jerry. Ben and Jerry, it's the story of one of the most enduring and endearing business partnerships. Ben Cohen and Jerry Greenfield met during high school gym class in 1963, and they became instant best friends. According to Ben, they were the two slowest, fattest kids in gym class. And after leaving school, they went on their separate ways. Jerry went on to be a doctor, but eventually settled into a career as a lab technician. Ben, he tried a number of different jobs, including a cab driver, a cook, and a teacher. But by the time they were 25, they had resumed their close friendship and decided that the best way for them to carve out a career for themselves would be to start a business together. And since Ben and Jerry had always bonded over food, they took a correspondence class in ice cream technology. As Jerry recalls, naturally they got 100% on all of the tests. And at last, they found a type of education that they were really excited for. In Vermont in the year 1978, the year that I was born, Ben and Jerry's was born with their first ice cream scoop shop, which became an instant hit in the community. And then by 1981, they expanded by opening their first franchise store. They continued to develop their signature flavors, including Cherry Garcia, Chocolate Chip Cookie Dough, and Chunky Monkey throughout the 1980s. Ben and Jerry managed to turn their friendship into a highly successful business. But a large part of their success comes down to their unique business approach that prioritizes community engagement before profit. Both Ben and Jerry have a good understanding of their co-founder dynamic. They understand what each of them brings to this partnership. According to Ben, Jerry personifies the company. Jerry is incredibly warm, he is caring, he is personal in his style, and he spends a lot of time with the employees. And in Jerry's words, Ben is the creative driving force behind the company, and he is in the supportive role. Jerry says that Ben is the real risk taker, and he's never satisfied, which is great for the business. Together, Ben and Jerry have formed an amazing partnership that we all get to enjoy in Ben and Jerry's ice cream. Two individuals, unique, but working together with their strengths to be able to accomplish something, as was documented on the website in a group, in an article on partnerships on octopusgroup.com. Partnership. Partnership is one of those amazing, amazing things where we have the ability to harness the collective strengths of people to work towards a common goal, moving forward together. It's not just in the business world. It's in church life, and it's in Christianity as well. For Christians, partnership is a wonderful and joy-filled opportunity to be able to continue the work that Jesus started at his first advent, as we at the same time work towards hastening the day of his second advent, his second coming. Jesus started it when he came in his first advent, and we have the privilege to partner with him and to partner together to bring his second coming. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, Jesus says this, and when the gospel of the kingdom is preached to all nations, to all people groups, then the end will come. He started it with his first advent, and today we have the privilege of working towards it to hasten his second. Partnership is both a discipleship and a missional endeavor that cannot exist one without the other. We need both partnership in discipleship and in mission. And like for Ben and Jerry, it is a joy-filled experience, and it is a joy-filled way to live. So this morning, let's both understand and find joy in partnership. Three truths of partnership that we want to look at this morning. The first is this: partnership is deeply relational. Partnership is deeply relational. Verses 3 and 7 through 8. Partnership is relational. It is built on human relationships. Verse 3, Paul says, "I thank my God every time I remember you." Paul begins his whole book of Philippians by telling the Philippians that he thanks God every time he thinks of them, every time he remembers them. As he writes this, he is in a jail cell because of the gospel, imprisoned because of preaching it, and he remembers them. He remembers the relationship that he had with them and continues to have with them in partnership. Paul spent about 3 months, Bible scholars believe, about 3 months in the city of Philippi, where he preached the gospel and where he then planted a church that continued on there. He spent that time in relationship with those Philippian believers. This is the building block. Human relationships is the building block of partnerships. Without relationship one with another, partnership doesn't exist. Partnership is deeply relational. It's human relationships with deep spiritual connection. Verse 7 says this: "It is right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart." Paul is thankful for them, and he's filled with joy because of them, because he has them in his heart. Now, he's not just talking sentimental, ooey-gooey, kind of having them in his heart. He is talking about spiritual connection that he has with the Philippian believers. See, here is the amazing thing that separates business partnership from partnership one with another as Christians together on partnership for God. And that is that you and I, as believers in Jesus, are connected one with another in Christ. Think about this. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within you. And he dwells within me. And the reality is, the same Spirit dwells within you, allowing the same Jesus to take residence in you, and we have the same Father together. We are not individuals who simply believe the same things. We are not individuals who go to the same church. We are not just individuals who say that we're connected one to another because we've chosen to have human relationships. God has brought us into his family. He's put his Spirit in us. Jesus lives in us. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us, Paul says. We have the same Father in heaven above. We are connected spiritually. We're not just individuals off on our own. We are connected spiritually. Have you ever had one of those experiences where you meet someone and you know this person is a believer in Christ? This person knows Jesus the way I know Jesus as well? Well, recently I was in a Home Depot, and as I was checking out, the cashier was there, and he was bringing and ringing the things that I was buying up. He stopped and he looked at me and he said, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" And then he went on and he said, "And you're a pastor, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah." I said, how'd you know that? He said, "I can feel it. I can see it. We are brothers in Christ. I know it. I see it in you. I feel it in you. There's a connection between us." And I felt it too. See, there is a reality of spiritual connection that is so personal and so deep in relationship between brothers and sisters in Christ. They are human relationships with deep spiritual connection as we are included in Christ, have the same Father, and have the same Spirit connected within us. And because of that, we have each other in our hearts. This is a bond that produces for one another, thirdly, sincere affection. Sincere affection. Paul says in verse 8, "God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus." This isn't, again, this kind of lovey-dovey, superficial love that exists because things are going well. But it is an affection that is deep within Paul's heart for them and is deep and should be deep within our heart, not just when people like us, not just when the relationships are going well, not just when we see eye to eye on everything, but it's the kind of love that even when we get annoying to one another, even when another person doesn't fully hold up their end of the bargain, even when it doesn't feel like they're only blessing us all the time, there is still a love that is there between brothers and sisters in Christ because Paul says it is a love, an affection. It's the love and affection of Christ Jesus. You see, when there are human relationships in Christ that are bonded together deeply one with another, there is this love that we have that we come at the end of the day and we say, "This isn't my love for my fellow believer. This is the love of Christ. I love them not because I just love them, because I love them." The love of Christ in my heart and in my soul for you is there because of this deep spiritual connection that you and I have. And so if there are spaces in your life where you see other believers or you look at other believers and you go, "I just don't love them, don't like them, just don't care about them." Let me challenge you that that's not their issue. That's your issue. And it says something, it's like a warning light on the dashboard of your car. It says something about how you are receiving the love of God. Because if there is deep spiritual connection between you and God that spills out and you are connected, we are connected one with another spiritually, the love of Christ for one another should be overflowing. And even when that person drives you nuts, even if that person is not one that you would say, you know what, if it wasn't for the fact that they were a believer in Christ, I'm not sure that I would be their friend. But you know what? I love them. I have an affection for them. If we're not together, I long for them. Why? Because we are bonded together in Christ. And that's what partnership is. You have been connected to the people of God, whether you like it or not. And so the love of God in Christ for them fills your heart. So that we can say, I long for my brothers and sisters with the affection of Jesus. And if that's not where you're at with other believers locally or larger, whether it's in the Pittsburgh region or whether it's in our country, or you're feeling like there's not a love connection towards believers or workers to the ends of the earth, begin to pray about it. Lord, would you do a deep work in me? You've said that we are connected. There is a deep spiritual connection one for another. Would you begin to do a work in me that would spur on love, that I would have your love for one another? One of the great ways that I've seen partnership be deeply relational is through one worker in particular, I think, that really exemplified it to me. So she's a worker in a Central Asian country where the Alliance is at. And a number of years ago, I was able to go visit that field just as it was getting started. And the whole field, there was just this relational connection that took place where the church I served in before in Emporium, we began to have a missional, intentional partnership with them. And in that partnership, there was prayer, there was giving, there was relationship that was established. And this one individual worker was in our area, and so we had invited her to come. And man, did we hit it off. As a church with her and her with the church, there was just so much joy, so much fun, so much laughter. There was prayer. She prayed for us. We prayed for her. There was just this natural development of relational connection between her and us. So much so that a couple years into the partnership, she had happened to be about an hour and a half away from our church. And she realized, she came on a Friday to that church, and she realized, I'm like an hour and a half away from Emporium. And she called me up and she said, this is crazy. I got this busy schedule Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but I've got this window on Saturday afternoon where I am happy to drive an hour and a half to be able to come and just see anybody who's able to be there. And we spread the word, and there was a group of about 15 or so that was like, I don't have anything to do on that Saturday. I can rearrange things. And there was sacrifice on her part, and there was sacrifice by the people of our church, and we gathered together. Why? Because there was connection. There was relationship. There was love. There was partnership one with another. It was a powerful example of what happens when human relationships develop deep spiritual connection and sincere affection for one another. Partnership, the foundation and building block, is relationship. Secondly, when it comes to partnership, partnership is gospel-centered. Partnership is gospel-centered. This is what sets it apart from, as well, from business partnership. Because partnership being gospel-centered is begun and completed by God. It is begun and completed by God. Verse 6, Paul says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. There's a story in Acts chapter 16 that really helps us to understand what Paul is saying here, that God begins and he completes this gospel-centered work in the lives of people. If you would turn with me to the book of Acts, to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 and verses 13 through 15. Acts 16, verses 13 through 15. This is a story of a woman named Lydia. as Paul and his companions arrive in the city of Philippi for the first time. They are there, and in verse 13, they arrive in Philippi, and it says, on the Sabbath, verse 13, on the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down, and we began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshiper of God. Listen to this. Notice this phrase. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. And when she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home and said, "If you consider me a believer in the Lord, come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. So Paul and his companions, they're looking for a place to pray on the Sabbath, and there are women there who are gathered, and Lydia is a worshiper of God, but it seems she does not know about Jesus yet. So often through the book of Acts, you will find people whose hearts are turned to the God of Israel, who are worshiping the Lord, but they have not yet heard of Jesus. And so Paul explains to her the way of Jesus, who Jesus was, what he did, and how he was bringing people to the Father. And it says that phrase, the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. You see, in Lydia's life, she and her household then are baptized, and they are the first believers in the city of Philippi. They're the first ones in that church. But did Lydia just one day decide, "I want to follow Jesus"? No. It says the Lord opened her heart and she responded. Salvation is always, first and foremost, a work of God. Hear that. Salvation is always, first and foremost, a work of God. He begins it. The scriptures say, Jesus says in John 6:44, no one can come to the Father unless the Father first draws them. Salvation is a work of God that is begun by God. And then, back to Philippians, it is a work that is completed by God. Paul says at the end of that verse, verse 6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. There is a day when the salvation work of God in our lives will be completed. It is the day when Jesus makes all things right, when he returns to make all things right. Until then, he is carrying it on. And we know that God is a God who always does what he says he will do. He is faithful to all of his promises. What he begins, he will carry it on to completion. And so this partnership is a gospel-centered work in our lives where we are responding to the work that God is beginning of salvation, and as he is carrying on to the day when it is complete, when we are glorified and we are made like Jesus, the day of Christ Jesus. Once Lydia's heart then was opened, she did this amazing thing. She opened her home to Paul and his companions, and she said, if you really consider me a believer, you're going to stay with us. You don't have a choice. And it says that she persuaded them. Because this gospel-centered partnership is begun and completed by God in our personal lives. This is the discipleship endeavor. But then it carries on to a missional endeavor where we share together in expanding it to those around us, to those who have not yet had opportunity to hear. Verse 5 says this, because of your partnership, actually verse 4, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. because whether, verse 7, he is in chains or defending, confirming of the gospel, they all, verse 7, share in God's grace with him, Paul says. Having been impacted by the gospel, beginning with Lydia, Paul and the Philippians partner together to expand the impact of the gospel where they are at and to the ends of the earth. Now, their roles were very, very different. Paul's role was that he was defending and confirming the gospel. We see that in verse 7. He was in chains, defending and confirming the gospel. He was out starting new works, preaching the gospel, taking the gospel to places that it had not yet gone, which landed him in prison many times. But the Philippians' role was a little bit different. If you're in Philippians chapter 1, just turn a few pages to the end to Philippians chapter 4 and look at with me from verse 10 through 19 for a moment. We see their role in this as they share in the gospel grace, this gospel work with Paul. In Philippians 4, verse 10, Paul says at the end of his letter, "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it." He says, "I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength." Verse 14, "Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I've received full payment, and even more, I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Do you see what Paul is saying? He's saying, my role in this partnership from the moment that the Lord opened Lydia's heart in Philippi and she and her whole household were believers and she convinced me and persuaded me to come in and to stay in her house, from that moment on, we began a partnership. There was a partnership of discipleship, but a partnership of mission. And you Philippians, you shared in my concern. You were concerned for me. You shared my trials and my troubles. You prayed for me. And when I was in need, you gave so that my needs and my companion's needs would be met, so that the gospel could go forth to the ends of the earth. Different roles. Paul was out there sharing, but the Philippians were back in Philippi growing in discipleship, growing in their faith, and because they had been impacted by the message the Lord opened Lydia's heart to, they said, "Paul, whatever you need, we will share your burden, we will share your concern, we will give so that what is needed is accomplished." Partnership. Partnership shared together in expansion. It is because of the gospel. When we are impacted, when Jesus changes us, when the Lord opens our heart, and when he is in the process of carrying on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus, we don't just receive. We don't just get. We don't just take. We partner so that what we have received can go out farther and farther. And brothers and sisters, you've been wonderful in so many ways here at Dorseyville, partnering with what God is doing in our outreaches, in your giving, in your sacrificing, in your faithfulness and prayer. You have been so faithful in partnering with our larger Alliance family in Western PA over the years in ways that there have been opportunities to be able to share the gospel, to be able to reach out wider in our own Western PA district. And you've been so generous and faithful in helping to make sure that the Project Reimagine gets accomplished, so that mission can take place in Reynoldsburg, so that the work of the Alliance as a whole can go forward in a greater way. You've been so faithful in partnering through that and in many other ways. And you've been so faithful in partnering with our overseas partners, the Bills, the Foucaults. You've been so good in praying and in giving and sacrificing. And all of that is because of the gospel, is because of what God has started in us. We have the privilege to be partnering with him and with others to see gospel expansion take place. That's a privilege, isn't it? And there is joy when we get to realize what we are a part of. We're a part of not just receiving this joy, but we're a part of sharing this joy locally and to the ends of the earth. Thank you for your partnership. Continue in that partnership as we go forth together. Lastly, partnership. Its goal is prayer-fueled growth. Its goal is prayer-fueled growth, both for us in our discipleship and becoming more like Jesus, but also in allowing it to be seen in the ways that we partner with others. And so in these last few moments, we want to look at Paul's prayer in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, because Paul prays for the Philippians, and these are prayers that we can have for ourselves, but pray for others as well. He prays for four things, verse, and with joy. Verse 4 tells us, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy. He prays with joy. In verse 9, we see his prayer. And this is my prayer. He prays for four things, and he prays for them more and more that they would grow. And all of them are pictures of growth, as in a plant or a tree, in the way that a plant or a tree would grow. So think of it this way. And this is my prayer, verse 9, that your love may abound more and more. That your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight. Love is like the root system of a tree. It goes down and it goes out. And so Paul is praying that they would have more and more knowledge, that they would be informed deeper and wider about the quality and the characteristics of the love of God. And not only that they would know in knowledge, but that they would have depth of insight, that there would be deeper understanding, and that that deeper understanding would lead to deeper experience of the love of God. So that as the roots of their love, the roots of their faith grow deeper and go out, love will abound. You see, growing in love nourishes and grounds us in the strength of God's love. Partnership's goal is prayer-fueled growth for love to abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. For discerning what is best, praying that more and more they would be able to discern what is best. Verse 10, so that you may be able to discern what is best. Discernment is like the trunk. You have the roots, love. You have the trunk, which is discernment. Discernment puts what is being learned under scrutiny to see if it is true. As you're learning more about the love of God, as you're learning more about the ways of God in knowledge and depth of insight, discernment takes it and says, is this true? Discernment helps the trunk grow up straight and tall, grow up towards the light. But there's always something that is the enemy of truth, and that is lies and deception. And so discernment allows us to be able to weigh with the spirit of discernment and wisdom, is what we are learning true? Because what happens is when there is lies and deceit is it's as if that trunk begins to get bent. And when that trunk begins to get bent because we're believing lies either about God or about ourselves, or we're learning things that are anti-scripture, anti-Christian worldview, it begins to bend us and the truth of God is not in us. But when we confront these lies with truth, we begin to grow straighter and straighter and straighter. The roots are love. For love to abound, discernment is the trunk that grows up. And the branches are purity and blamelessness. The rest of verse 10, so that you may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, the time when our salvation will be complete. These are the branches that grow from truth. It affects the quality of living. And it's the result of living according to truth. Love, truth, and purity all work together so that the branches of holiness, so that the branches of purity, so that the branches of blamelessness grow out. Jesus said that he's the vine and we are the branches. And that purity grows in our lives, out in abundance, as we anchor ourselves in the love of God, as we discern what is best in the truth of God, and as we allow purity and blamelessness to grow, it is the result of love, truth, and purity all working together so that lastly, the fruit of righteousness is produced. Verse 11 concludes, filled with the fruit of righteousness, that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. As love abounds more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, as we are able to discern what is best so that purity and blamelessness are produced, the fruit of righteousness is the ultimate result, and it is one that is filled with deep, deep joy. What does this fruit look like? How do you know if the fruit of righteousness is being produced in your life? I think a litmus test is this. It says we're filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. What does this fruit look like? This fruit looks like Jesus. The character, the works of Jesus, as we see on the pages of Scripture, are the fruit that begins to be produced in our lives. How do we know if it's the fruit of righteousness? Well, does it look like Jesus? Because ultimately our goal is that Jesus would live his life through us, that the Spirit of God who lives in us and Christ who lives in us would live through us so that the fruit of righteousness will bring praise and glory to God, just as Jesus lived for the praise and glory of God, the Father. Praying for growth in this way, in these areas, develops joy in us, in our DAC family, in the larger Alliance family, and in our worker partners. One of those partners are Derek and Mara, who are working here, but preparing to go overseas, just as we have had partnership with others, we will be having deeper and deeper partnership with Derek and Mara. And so as they continue on this road of developing and moving towards partnership and what that looks like for the future, I've invited Mara to just give us an update of where they're at so that we are able to hear, be able to partner with them in prayer and encourage them as we're preparing this partnership relationship deeper and deeper. So Mara, thank you.
Yeah, Derek and I are very grateful that we have been called by God to go overseas, and we are very grateful to Dorseyville. Like Pastor Mark said, and as many of you know, when I came on 3 years ago, it wasn't just as a job at a church, and it wasn't even just for the ministry experience, but because we did want to develop this partnership with the church. We wanted to have a home church and to be able to come back in 2 years or 4 years or however long to visit and go, oh, these are the people we know, these are the people we love, these are the people who know our son now. And so we did just want to start by saying that we are so grateful for this partnership that we are continuing to develop with you all. As a little update or a reminder for some of you, it is in January, so less than a month now, that they will be opening up the new job opportunities for missionaries being sent from the Alliance. And so Derek and I are planning on applying in this first wave, so between the months of January and March. And for us, we feel very flexible about where God is calling us. We have a good idea of what we're called to do, but we're not sure where. So there's a lot of opportunities. So in this stage, we are really asking everybody to come alongside us in discernment, like Pastor Mark talked about, just as we figure out where God is going to be placing us. So we would invite you to be praying for us. We'd invite you to be praying over some of these job opportunities that God would make it clear where he's placing us. And we would love to talk to you more about what we're planning on doing, more about what's going on. So if you'd ever like to come over for dinner, if you'd like to go out to lunch sometime, please let us know, because it would be great to be able to keep everybody up to date. In addition to that, since I can't be giving an update every single week, we also are starting an email list, and that'll go on even when we go overseas. So if you'd be interested in getting those updates from us, getting those emails, I left a sign-up list right beside the Christmas cards. You just need to leave your name and whatever email is best for us to contact you with. But once again, we just want to say thank you so much. We are so excited for these next steps, and we're excited to bring you along with us.
Thank you so much, Mara. It's good to be able to hear that update and to be able to share with Derek and Mara and Ben and what God is doing now and is preparing them for in their future. And so that is part of the joy of partnership that we get to see firsthand. It's not just something that's kind of ethereal and out there. It's something that we can lean into together as a church family, as we partner because of the joy that has come from gospel partnership. How he has begun a work in us, we are able to partner so that that work can be done in others. So as we would close, worship team will come and lead us in a closing song here in a moment, but I just want us to close by praying for each one of us. This prayer application is that God would do this in each of us, but that we would pray that God would do it also in those that we have the privilege to partner with. The work that he has started, we have the opportunity to partner with others. So as I would pray, would you just follow along and just agree? You can be praying silently in your heart to the Lord, interceding for yourself, but also for those that we are partnering with, that God would do this work in prayer-fueled growth in the lives of people around us. So let's go to prayer together. Father, first and foremost, we give you thanks for the relationships that we have one with another, for the deep spiritual connection that you have made possible through Christ and through your Spirit. Lord, would the affection of Jesus grow in our hearts for one another? And Father, thank you for the work that you have begun in our lives, in the work that you are beginning in the lives of others that you have given us the privilege of seeing take place. Thank you, Lord, that you are carrying this work on to completion. And we look forward to the day when that work is complete, that salvation work in us and in those you have called to yourself is complete, when King Jesus returns and King Jesus rules and reigns forever and ever. How we look forward to and long for that day when that work is done. But until then, Father, we pray for ourselves. We pray for our partners. Lord, we pray especially over Derek and Mara and Ben, as we partner all together, Lord, that your love would abound, that the roots of love and knowledge and depth of insight would grow deep and wide. We pray, Father, for discernment. Pray especially for them, for discernment, for all of us to discern together what is best, both in our relationship with you and our being formed in Christ, but also in the ways that you are developing and preparing new work to take place. Father, we pray as well for purity and blamelessness to come as a result. That the characteristic and the life of Jesus in purity and in blamelessness would mark our lives. That we would be known as holy, pure, blameless, and set apart people in increasing ways. Root out those ways that impurity still may rest in our hearts so that we might be the pure bride that Jesus is preparing to return for. And Father, may the fruit that is produced in our lives and in our partners be the fruit of righteousness, a fruit that is the result of your love abounding, of discerning what is best, a purity and blamelessness coming. May the fruit of righteousness be produced. Do it, Lord, we pray, for your glory in our lives and in the lives of those we are partnering with to see others be brought into it as well. Thank you, like Lydia, that you have given us the privilege of partnering with your work in our lives and to the ends of the earth. We love you, we worship you, and we are grateful to be part of this partnership. Increase the joy in our hearts for partnership. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said together, amen and amen.